Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study in Hosea chapter 8, closing out our study of this chapter covering verses 8 through 14. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can mail your check or money order along with that letter to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made by using the PayPal donation button at bbfohio.com. We now begin our study of Hosea chapter 8, covering verses 8 through 14. This is part 1 of
Current Events Update! And thought I'd get away from the COVID thing for a minute and talk about the tech tyrants. How many of you saw they were having a hearing? They're trying to control your mind, your speech, and the way that you vote. That all these, now it's not all tech companies, it's the big ones. We'll see it in a minute. Devin Nunes, I think I pronounced his name, he said that Twitter, Google, and Facebook are tech tyrants that censor conservatives. Yeah. And he left out YouTube. But he accused them of furthering a left-wing agenda. And that's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. The goal of the tech tyrants is to defeat Donald Trump in November because he's the main thing standing in the way of their communist agenda. Now, what they would say, we're not communists. Well, I might grant them that technically they're more like corporate fascists. But, yeah, close enough. But their agenda is very communistic. And that explains why Cato Institute, which is more of a libertarian organization, not liberal, libertarian. Libertarians are our friends on most things. They go a little too far in the freedom idea that it's, you should be free to kill your baby, for example, and free to have two men and two women marry. So we don't agree with our libertarian friends on a number of things, but they are very supportive of free speech, freedom of religion, the right to own and bear arms. And the Cato Institute did a poll and found that 52% of Democrats are afraid to share their political opinions in public. Well, they're just paranoid schizos because Democrats can freely say whatever they want, and there's never any repercussions. Now, 59% of independents are afraid to share political opinions in public. And that's because most political independents are more moderate to conservative. They go that way. 77% of Republicans, I don't agree, I think that should say conservatives. But evidently they ask what party they're in, are afraid to share political opinions in public. Now, why is that? It's because we have a problem with systemic liberalism in America. Yeah. The organizations in this country are controlled by liberals, and they punish you if you go against their opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's just a fact. That's why a Republican working in the public schools, for example, is afraid to be an American. Yeah. Yeah. They're afraid to speak freely. One example is a football coach just last week was fired for expressing his political opinion because it was conservative. And on the flip side of that, says 58% of liberals feel they can say what they believe. Well, it's been my experience that 100% should say that. I mean, there might be an exception. But most of the liberals I know have always been able to say whatever they wanted. Yeah. I gave the example when I was in the sixth grade. My teacher heard me telling a young lady that abortion was murder. I said, if you watched the abortion, you'd see them kill a baby, suck it out, and throw it in the garbage.
That's right.
Well, she came up and told me she'd never want to hear me talking like that again because I might offend somebody. But she didn't tell the other kid who was saying she believed that a woman had a right to kill her baby. She didn't tell her to stop talking. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
And that's the way it is across the board. I've worked in any number of places, but the last place I worked was for the state of Ohio. And if you expressed conservative opinions, then you were the one who'd get in trouble. You were the, I proved it one time. That a couple of friends, one of them was from Canada. And they were. I was telling them I believed this, and they were saying, no, that's not. I said, I'll prove it to you right now. I said, you walk out there right now, and they're all talking about a political thing, and it's all of them are given the left version, the liberal version. Now watch what happens. And I walked right out there, and I could name the people, but I won't. I could name my supervisor, but I won't. But I walked right out there, and I expressed the conservative view, and they shut me down, and when I said, I said, why? I'm not allowed to say. And they threatened me with discipline. And that's the way it's been my whole life. I've seen it. And that's why the hats that everybody ought to wear ought to be these make Orwell fiction again.
Amen.
How many of you read 1984? In 1984, a novel, it's also a movie, it portrayed a world where everybody would become dumb sheeple, and they would obey, and they would do whatever they're told to do. And the people, not just the government powers, not just the police or anybody like that, the people, your friends and your neighbors, would then shame you if you went against the brainwashing. All of them, yeah, the people. And the kids were, there's a fulfillment of prophecy where Jesus said, your own children will turn you in. Yeah. That day's coming. Orwell saw it back when he wrote that book in the early 20th century, and it's being fulfilled. That's why people have told these liberals, 1984 was supposed to be a warning, not an instruction manual.
Amen.
And that's why people are calling them Democrats. And you don't have to agree with me on this, but I believe they're devil-possessed. I believe people, some of these people who are fighting to kill babies and fighting for the sodomite rights and fighting for all this stuff that God says is wicked.
Amen.
I believe they're devil-possessed. They're at least under satanic influence.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And that's what happened today when Congress grilled four of the biggest Democrats, the tech CEOs, at what they call a historic hearing. And we don't have time to get into everything that was said there. But Jessica, did you have something you wanted to ask?
Well, I just want to say, sometimes if you mention that you stand behind Christ, you believe in Christ, Jesus Christ, and other things, you get told to hush.
Yeah.
But you can. But they talk about Muslim and.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what we're saying.
Yeah,
if you're a conservative, that's what it means to be a conservative. Conservative isn't Republican. There are a lot of Republicans who are not conservative.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney is a progressive. He's not conservative. Oh. That's why we didn't vote for him. Republicans didn't vote for the guy, and that's why he lost. A lot of liberals did vote for him, but he didn't win because conservatives didn't vote for him. And John McCain, he was always voting against conservative ideas, conservative policy. And most of the Bush family and John Kasich and, on and on it goes. That Bulger that was arrested last week, he's a Biden supporter, but he's a Republican because he's not a conservative. And that's why we don't talk about the Republican Party. I want everybody to understand that. We have somewhat of a visitor, someone we know, but I mean, I just want everybody to understand, we don't preach a political partisanship here. We preach biblical values.
Amen.
And it just so happens that's what they call conservative. And that's why I say, this is a matter of fact. Liberalism and the Democrat Party means censorship.
Yep.
And just like the Nazis, they will accuse you of doing what they're doing. And they are accusing conservatives all the time of censorship when it's the liberals who are censoring. The liberals won't let you teach young people that there's an alternate view to Darwinianism, for example.
Yeah.
You can't teach biblical morality. You can teach some form of morality, but it's a very what they call situation ethics humanistic version. And you cannot teach anything that they say and point and say, well, that's from the Bible, you can't teach it. Because they have already established a religion in this country, and it's humanism.
Yep.
It's just another name for atheism. And down the bottom, you see YouTube, Twitter, the Google, one in the middle of Google looks like a G, the A is Amazon, and the F is Facebook. Backwards. And that, listen, I'm here to tell you, this is just going to get worse because of that, what I read just a minute ago. Conservatives are cowards. They're just too few conservatives with the spine to stand up. And as I'm telling you, that is why we don't have more people in the pews. We have people who listen to us who would never come to this building. They're scared to death. Why? Everybody's scared to death to be honest. Everybody's scared to death to just stand up and speak the truth. I'm here to tell you, they can shoot me. I'm not going to stop.
Amen.
They close. If they were to close us down one way or another here, I've already got on in my cart ready to buy a 20 by 20 tent.
Amen.
If I had to, that's where we'd go.
Amen.
And of course, they kill me, and then that's different. But that's, you know, they're going to have to do that through God's permission. Now, this guy, I'm not even going to talk about whether or not he's a good guy or not. I don't know. But I know that some of the things he's being accused of were good for us. Because he exposed the crooks. Some of them include Hillary. And he exposed their emails where they talked about their stuff that they'd lie on in front of the camera and then go send emails contradicting what they said in front of the camera. Julian Assange. He said, this is based on facts. This isn't his opinion. This is when, through WikiLeaks, information he had firsthand. Quote, Facebook, Google, and Yahoo are allowing the CIA to access user data via a specially designed interface. Let that sink in. That's a fact. These people are already setting up the Antichrist system where they're going to hunt you down if you don't take the mark.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe we're going to be here for that as far as Christians. But I still think that Christians ought to be on the front lines is what I was trying to think of. The front lines of warning people that this is happening. He said, quote, Facebook is the most appalling spying machine that has ever been invented, end quote. Now, when you hear people talk about the deep state, you know who they're talking about? They're talking about our own CIA.
Yeah.
Not every CIA agent, but the powerful ones. Trust me, I've seen enough evidence that when I say trust me, listen to what I'm about to say. Trust me, if you do the research, you'll find out. If you are in the CIA and you don't become a part of the deep state, you're out.
Yep.
What's a deep state?
Well, the deep state's what they've been talking about since 2016 is an unelected people in the federal government serving in the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and other organizations who are really the functioning gears of our government. And they do what they want to do. They've got what they call black budgets that we don't know anything about. Black operations we know nothing about.
Yep.
And I'm not here to say, let's form a militia and stop. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we're to be light in the darkness.
Amen.
We're to be preaching the truth and warning people and praying. And we pray that God will help us to stem this tide until we're removed.
Amen.
And then they can have it. Amen.
Amen.
Has no place on our platforms.
This quote around free speech was never a mission of the company. It was a joke.
I saw the censorship happening in Silicon Valley. This is absolutely absurd.
You know, who are these Silicon Valley tech giants, these modern-day robber barons, to tell us what, as Americans with the First Amendment, what we can and cannot talk about? People are being shut up across the internet. When people are being no-platformed off the internet now, non-personed off the internet now, we believe in the free flow of information, the free and open web, and the ability for everybody to speak freely. And that's been our mission has been consistent from day one on that fact.
Gab is a alternative to Twitter, and it's just their version. We don't necessarily endorse them over anyone else. There's also Parler.com, there's MeWe.com, and there's others. Huh?
Trump Town, is it still a
name? No, but I think it's called Mumble It or something, but it's kind of dead. But these, that first guy you saw was a guy named Cook. He's head of Apple, and he's a sodomite. And he's using his billions to push a sodomite liberal agenda.
Right.
That's true. About the next guy was Dorsey. He's the head of Twitter. They used to say something about free speech was their platform or something like that. And then what he was saying was that was just a joke. It was never serious.
Yeah.
And now they're proving it. Just was it yesterday or today? They took down our president's tweets and said that what he was saying wasn't allowed. You're talking about the president of the United States. And if I were to talk to Donald Trump, my one question on that issue wouldn't be the first thing I'd want to talk to him about. I'd start with his salvation. But one of the first things I'd want to talk to him about is, why do you stay on Twitter? If Donald Trump were to pull off Twitter and go to Parler or
Twitter
would crash.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. But these control freaks are using their billions as, you know, what's the Bible saying, 1 Timothy 6:10? My love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
And these guys are using their money to exhibit the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 2:18 says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come." So look at it. There is going to be an Antichrist. Man,
yep.
Who is the beast, the first beast of Revelation. But it goes on to say, "Even now are there many Antichrists."
That's right.
Whereby we know that it is the last time. And that's been true right up to the very day. And I think there's more than ever.
Yes.
Not just because of the population of the earth. There's more than ever because the evil is just growing. And these are forerunners for the Antichrist, who is the ultimate control freak.
Yep.
This Antichrist is probably already alive and well and ready to assume power when he's able. In Revelation 13:12, it starts by saying, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast." This is talking about the second beast, the false prophet. "He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast."
Yep.
Now it's different, but it's kind of a symbolic right now. That's what the liberals are telling you to do. You will think what we tell you to think. You will say what we tell you to say. You will submit. That's liberalism today.
Yep.
And then verse 16 says, talking about the control freaks, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." All. So that's what it's all about. It's all about control. And liberals today are Antichrist control freaks.
Yep.
And that's what we're up against. We're dealing with the Antichrist army. And after the rapture, these people out here protesting for Black Lives Matter, and these people out protesting for the right to kill babies and the right for sodomite marriage and sodomites to adopt children, and they want to lower the age of consent so they can start raping younger men and women, and these people out there fight for all these things are the Antichrist's army.
That's right.
And as soon as the rapture takes place, those people, if they're still alive, they'll be the first people to take the mark of the beast.
Yep.
You think about that. The next time you look at these people on the street, eyeball to eyeball, you're looking at somebody who more than likely will take the mark and serve the Antichrist. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Keeping it real, amen? Keeping it real. We're going to close down our study of Hosea chapter 8 this time. So I'm going to have you read the even verses with me. Beginning in verse 8, we'll read through verse 14. If you're there, read with me. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
And you read that, it's interesting how many times people will, or preachers, will kind of, it's almost like they get bored with these minor prophets. I've read some of the commentaries, listened to sermons, and they just kind of hop, skip, and jump. But it's a sad thing that you do that. If you take your time and read this, there's really some amazing things in here. I'm not going to name names and try. I don't want to always sound like I'm trying to pick on other preachers. And some of these are guys I'm reading, so as you can tell, I respect them. They have their reasons for doing what they do. Sometimes maybe they were on a clock and had to get things done, or I don't know what their reason is. But it begins there in verse 8, for example. Israel is swallowed up. Talk about from that point forward. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Do you realize that was absolutely fulfilled? And still is today. Listen, when Assyria came down into the northern kingdom and destroyed the northern 10 tribes, that was the last you've seen of those tribes in any official and documented manner. Israel was swallowed up. And ever since then, now Judah went on for a little while, was taken off to Babylon, brought back, and some of the people from the northern tribes did intermix into Judah, but not in any recognizable documented manner. And then Judah, after they rejected their Messiah, Jesus, in 70 AD was destroyed. And they then also fulfilled this verse where it says, now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure.
Yeah.
Folks, if you've not been a student of history, then you don't really appreciate that verse.
Yeah.
But anybody who's been a student of history knows that the Jew, no matter where they've gone, for 2,000 years, has been to the Gentiles, where they've been living, a vessel wherein is no pleasure. They've been blamed for everything. As a matter of fact, right now in America, if this were to be have happened a couple hundred years ago, right now, everybody, all the politicians and everybody would be blaming the Jews for COVID. Because that's what they've always done. In fulfillment of this verse and many others. But I'm here to tell you that there's still a large segment of our population that is blaming the Jews.
That's right.
And if you want to see it, you saw Gab.com. See, here's the problem with all these liberal fascists. When they shut down free speech, they cause the cockroaches to go in hiding. So you don't know where they are or what they're doing or what they believe. But when you allow free speech, then you realize where they're at and what they're doing. And so you go on Gab, they allow free speech. Now, I play a whack-a-mole game. I block people all the time on there. You know, someone's on there and they start talking about the Jews like that, or they start blaspheming or whatever, I block them, block, block. That's the way it ought to be on all these social media. If you don't like what you're seeing, block them. It shouldn't be Facebook blocking or whoever. But you can go on Gab and you can see on there, by the thousands, if you spend an hour a day for a month, you will see hundreds within a month of these. You'd think it was a bunch of Nazis from Germany, the way they talk about the Jews. That verse said it. Yeah, Johnny?
Just wanted to mention, or as a just an example, and right now, from what I can tell, probably the reason they're not blaming the Jews as much is because they want to get rid of Trump, so they're blaming it on him, even though it's just
Just as
stupid.
The liberals are blaming Trump.
But up in New York, they did blame some of the Jewish
people. Yeah, in New York, it was all on the Orthodox Jews they tried to blame.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Now, let me ask you a question. Can you tell us where those 10 northern tribes are today?
Scattered.
Huh?
Scattered.
In other words, we don't know, right? So, when you hear people talk about the lost tribes, that sounds like it makes sense, because to you and I, they're lost. But God knows where they are.
Amen.
He knows where they are, but we do not. Amen. So if someone's saying lost tribes in reference to us, we don't know where they are. God does know.
Amen.
So how do we know that God knows where the 10 tribes are?
Revelation.
Well, first of all, He's God. So we can just rest assured He knows. And then there's this. One, give you a couple of good reasons here. God says He will reunite all 12 tribes in the millennial kingdom. Look over in Ezekiel. Ezekiel's right before Daniel, so it's just a few pages back. And look at Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 19. Ezekiel 37 and verse 19. Jenny Miller, read that real loud.
Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand.
That's talking future.
Yeah.
Not just future from Ezekiel. That's talking about the time when the Messiah returns and sets up His kingdom. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ.
What's the stick?
We don't have time to really get into that, but He's using that symbolically. It's like you have a flag for Ohio and a flag for Michigan, and He's saying He'll take them and put them together. He has a flag for Ephraim, is Israel. Ephraim, Israel, Joseph, that's all talking about the northern kingdom. He'll take their stick and put it with that of Judah, so they'll become one. And that's going to happen in the millennium. Now, point two, God has given the borders for dividing the land of Israel among the 12 tribes during the millennium. Look over to Ezekiel 47. In other words, He wouldn't give the borders if He wasn't, and He says, as we're going to see, that it's among the tribes. He wouldn't do that if they're lost.
Amen.
If the tribes are lost. Look at verse 13. Jenny Albaugh, are you there? Go ahead and read that.
Verse